Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Look, Alistair. This is just Andy coming in early, just before Alistair does the quick plug, just to quickly say, this is just going to be a quick plug from Alistair. All right, Alistair, you go.
All right, you can find our other podcast called The Pop Test, which is a science quiz. You can get it on any place where you get podcasts, including this one. So just type in The Pop Test, get it. It's funny, and it's doing well. The other thing, we're doing a comedy festival show at Teleport. Our show Teleport at the Comedy Festival, and you can get tickets now. People already have. That means at one point they could run out, and you, the listener, could miss out. And that's who we want to be at the shows. So get tickets now.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy. He's Alistair George, William Tremblay Birchall, and we're the guys from Two in the Think Tank. We don't have a collective noun. We don't have what are we, Alistair? Where's this going? And we're the thinkers. Yes. We're the contents of the tank.
And the listeners are the tankers.
Now, I've always assumed that the tank in Think Tank is a large sort of vessel, large sort of, you
big
know,
metal.
Round, yeah, thing like that. But it could be a, a weapon of war.
Do you know what I actually think it is?
A panzer. Yeah.
It's the head of the listener.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Really? And we're in there.
Well, where does the sound seeming to be when you listen to things? Mm-hmm. Right in between your ears. It actually doesn't seem like it's in your ears. It sounds like it's coming from inside your head.
Mate, all voices are voices in your head. That's how voices work. You know, there's one voice in your head that you you make
your voice.
With your own voice, and then there's the one when people put their voices into your head. Even if you ignore the fact that it's being processed in your brain and the perception of the is a concept generated by the mind, right? Even if you ignore that, the sound does go in your ear. Like there's a hole in your head and the sound goes in. So the voice is in your head. All voices are voices in your head.
Are you also saying that your own voice is produced in your head?
That's also something I'm saying, yes.
Yeah, because you could say, doctor, I can hear a voice inside my head. I mean, that's a classic doctor sketch.
Yeah.
Does it hurt when I touch here? And he's touching inside... Inside your ear, you go, no, it's a voice. Doesn't hurt. Except for when it says mean things. When I touch here? Doctor. Then they look into each other's eyes for a long time.
Yeah.
Knowing that the doctor has not done something right. He has just broken the Socratic oath.
The Socratic oath. Wow. Yeah. So not even the Hippocratic oath. A totally different one. Wait, the Socratic oath is the one where it's just annoy people by asking questions.
Oh, no. He's like, sorry. I thought I took the Hippocratic oath.
Really good, Al.
Where
Very
I seem
good
like I'm here to protect people. And then here I am taking advantage of them.
Doing quite the opposite.
Yes. But, I did take the Hippocratic oath. God, we've got such an in-depth doctor sketch. So many angles.
It's like a bloody dodecahedron.
Yeah.
It was really weird. For the last couple of days, I've been thinking about how you could say I wonder if you could go into a hospital and every time you saw a doctor and you talked to a doctor, you say dog turd, you say it really quickly, dog turd, right?
That's in this sketch.
And then I saw somebody do that exact thing as a tweet after I'd been thinking about it for several days. I saw a tweet to that effect. And I feel like I manifested that.
And I just saw it, and it had only been tweeted a couple of days earlier.
Not even, Alistair, not even.
Who was it that stole directly from your inside your head, from the voice inside your head?
Yeah, well, I'd be more worried about ears inside my head, to be honest. Listening to the voices.
And your own voice.
Yeah, well,
would you consider the voice in your head, because it kind of doesn't really make a sound, would you consider it a whisper?
This is your whisper. The voice of your own inner voice, your own sort of private narrator of the story that is you. Would I consider it to be a whisper, an inner whisper? It must be, otherwise other people would be able to hear it. It's just whispered, just some at the below the level where the sound can escape the skull.
But like, try this. Try,
imagine if you opened somebody's head and the thoughts just all came out real noisy.
Doctors wouldn't tell you because people would do it.
Well, you press your ear really hard against the top of somebody's head, you can actually hear their thoughts. That'd be pretty good.
Here's the thing: I was just trying, right?
Yeah.
While you were talking,
mm.
If you tried to imagine somebody screaming really loud in your head, I reckon it makes my ear ringing go up a bit, like it would, like if somebody was yelling.
I wonder if it's possible to have louder thoughts than others. Like, okay, can you imagine a scream, a really loud scream, and then imagine a quiet whisper? And is the imagination of the whisper actually cool, like, do they have a different volume? Can you, and if you were able to imagine both things at once, do you think you'd be able to hear the whisper? Is this too insane?
No, Andy. No. Let's try it, okay?
All right. So I'm going to imagine a really loud scream.
It's
the same volume as the whisper. Wait. I don't think I can imagine.
I can't actually hear my whisper over the screaming. It could be that I can't think of two things at once. Wait, I'll try and think of the whisper first and then see if I can hear the scream. I cease being able to hear either. It becomes a scramble. And not in a good way, like you would do an egg.
Ah, is that the only good scramble?
What about a lolly scramble?
A lolly scramble, also a good scramble. Scrambling up rocks, but not to get away from something horrible.
Yeah, it sounds like it's something you would do in fear.
No. Scrambling up rocks in glee, in joy.
A gleeful scramble. I mean, what about what would be gleeful? Imagine somebody going up a set of like a 45-degree incline on some rocks, right? Whilst in one hand is a pan and in the other hand is a spatula. And they're running up and they're scrambling up
some rocks. It's good.
Whilst cooking eggs.
I mean, if you're going rock climbing anyway,
whilst making a loud sound that stops any signals from being interpreted.
All right, Alistair, I'm just going to tell you a sketch idea because I just had one, all right? And we'll just write that down. Then we've got one on the board. Okay, here's the idea. It's a funeral, right? And they have a lily scramble. And what it is, right, is they throw a whole lot of lilies up in the air. The white lady does this. She puts them in her hat and she throws them all up in the air for the kids to scramble around and grab the most beautiful lily to grieve with. To take back to the pew and grieve.
There should be the only reason why I can't write that down right now.
Oh, you fuck.
It's just because it's based off of a pun off of lolly scramble. Rather than a concept, but maybe it's fine. Maybe it's fine, Andy. But what about this? What if it's like, and look, I can absolutely write yours down, Andy. Don't get frustrated here. I could hear you. You're checking out. This is the opposite
screaming
of that movie.
Really loud in
this
my
is
head.
The op-
but
this
I'm also.
The op- This is the opposite of that. I'm breathing really loud in my head. You can't hear that I'm also breathing quietly in my head. This is the opposite of that movie. Dunstan checks in. This is Andy checks out.
Yeah.
Anyway, you see? And
great.
You know, he was a chimp.
I'd write, that, I'd write that down, Alistair, but it's based on a... I don't know what that is. Is that a pun?
Well, it's the opposite of a title.
What about it's, this? Dunstan Andy, checks me out. And it's so me just being ogled by a chimp.
Okay, what about this? Andy checks me in.
Okay, you've gone insane. All right, Dunstan checks me in is a really Wait. Is it Dunstan checks me in is a very good film. Okay, because it's a guy who owns a chimp and the chimp. Recognizes that the man has lost
his
mind.
I think it's an orangutan.
It's an orangutan, and it concludes. It comes to the justifiable conclusion that he's lost it, and it's about this orangutans. You know, very often people argue that chimps should have rights, but very rarely do chimps argue that we should have our rights taken away. And be, you know, what's the word? Sectioned, right? But not the case in Dunstan Checks Me In. A harrowing tale of an orangutan.
Of an orangutan that has been made someone's legal guardian.
Exactly. Oh, it was the last thing we wanted to happen, but the names were written in the wrong place on the form. And
oh, no. Someone this was going legally
binding.
Somebody was buying an orangutan, and they accidentally made in the paperwork. They accidentally made the orangutan their legal guardian.
Mm. That's right.
Oh man, I think that's a good idea, Andy. And then he puts him straight into. I mean, this is that movie or whatever that's on Stan right now. I think, or maybe it's a TV show, but it's a lady who basically becomes the legal guardian and then puts you in an old folks' home.
Yeah,
and then
I
sells
care
off
a lot.
All your, I say, sells off all your assets. But this is this seems like it would be a much better movie if there was an orangutan that was doing it.
Yeah, all movies could be remade with an orangutan in one of the lead roles. The question just is which of the lead roles
you
do you give to the orangutan?
Handle the truth. He's saying it to an orangutan.
Yeah, I think an orangutan is, if anything, better at handling most stuff because they've got opposable toes.
Sure, but not the truth. They a lot of the time they'll go ape shit.
I think they've probably confronted a few truths as those palm oil plantations destroy their habitats. I think they've probably had to handle a few of the old tea roofs.
I think the point of that whole problem is that they're not handling these truths and that we have to stop doing it or else they're gonna die. If they were handling these truths, I mean, it feels like there wouldn't be a problem.
No, well, I think you're confusing being able to handle the truth with being able to overcome devastating habitat loss. And if that's what Jack Nicholson had said in A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
It would have been a different, very different story.
Sure, but what if the truth is devastating habitat loss?
Oh, see, now,
I mean,
now.
I don't know. I don't know if you can handle something mentally, but not physically. I don't know if it means that you handled it.
That's really interesting.
You know, it's like, Andy, I can really handle mentally this beating that you're giving me. It's just physically in which my body is giving in.
Well, no, I think I don't want to get into this, Alistair, because I feel like it's a dead end comedically. But I think it's fascinating from a philosophical point of view. And I think that if someone had a better brain, they would absolutely be able to make something of this.
No, Al, You're currently in hospital, completely debilitated. You didn't handle the truth of the beating that I gave you. Andy, I've got to say, mentally, I did. I'm in a good place.
What you're suggesting, though, is that truth has some kind of physical component, whereas truth is conceptual, I think.
Well, I mean, there's the truth that you were getting a beating.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you were pretending to give me a beating, I reckon I could handle the truth of the lie of you giving me a beating.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the idea of receiving a beating can be separated from the actual beating if it's the truth. If it's the truth, then it's actually happening.
I think if you could separate the two things, that would be quite remarkable. And if you could then somehow distill the truth of a beating, and then I guess get that in a spray form that you're able to to squirt on people like mace,
and see if they can mentally handle this beating.
Well, you know, then you if you distilled the effects of, you know, the truth of a beating down to its core reality, and then you had that in a little can that you could keep in your purse. That if somebody approached you, you could just spray them with beating, the truth of the beating, which in your telling is inseparable from actually receiving a beating. You might be able to give them a beating without physically giving them a beating, you know, disable them.
Andy, I think what you're giving them is the lie of a beating. You're giving them the sensation of a beating that claims to be the truth while it is a little mist that they receive in their face.
Well, what is a lie except a truth, if not a truth that is divorced from reality, that is separated from its physical reality?
Well, Andy,
all lies are just truths.
You have basically just taken my point, but just said the opposite.
You've said that
the lie is the truth separated from its physical reality.
Well, I think it's what I said. It felt interesting when it was a voice in my head, Alistair. I don't know how it came across when it was a voice in your head.
It came across really interesting, Andy, because it sounded like a validation of my point.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Now, what I think that could happen at the funeral is...
Are you telling me that you haven't written down distilling the truth of a beating into a gas that you can spray on people as a form of self-defense?
The truth?
Because, you know, even just the idea of a beating in a can... People talk a lot about a can of whoop ass, but what if it was an actual can?
What if you actually could get whoop ass into a can?
Yeah, and you could then put an aerosol propellant in there, maybe a hydrocarbon, and squirt it on people.
Do you think we should go back to having those other things that were propellants in cans? Would that, you know, that
fluorocarbons, CFCs?
Yeah. Do you think that would fix climate change in some way?
I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like it's possible that they were slowing the global warming. I think.
Really?
I could be wrong. I might be mistaking truth for a component of a joke that I heard from somebody somewhere. But they're used in refrigerants, right? They're used in... refrigerators, chlorofluorocarbons. And I think it's because of their ability to absorb heat.
And the ozone layer?
They also have the effect of catalyzing the breakdown of ozone in the ozone layer. But other than that, they're harmless. So other than breaking down the ozone layer, they're pretty harmless. And
And then
fuck off the ozone layer and just give everyone sunscreen.
And just wear like 60 plus sunscreen, or 75 plus sunscreen.
Just crop dust sunscreen across all of nature constantly.
That's a good idea. Yeah, bees and everything can just get it and everybody will just...
I mean, you know, there would be an alternative reality in which we decided, well, look, something's got to go. Fuck the ozone, right? What we're going to do is we're just going to create a new form of employment, and that is rubbing sunscreen on wildlife. And,
that's a good idea.
You could just go and maybe it's like instead of doing military service, we end all wars as well. We ended all war, but now everybody has to do 2 years rubbing sunscreen on wild animals when they leave high school. And I feel like you'd learn a lot about the world.
Yeah, especially like you got to rub sunscreen on every 4 hours.
Yeah. You're in the zinc infantry. You're in the titanium dioxide ground troops.
What are those gases called again?
Chlorofluorocarbons. CFCs, baby.
Oh, CFCs.
CMCs, HBBs. What's that song?
Easy as CFCs.
No.
Oh, way, BCs, CFCs. Rub sunscreen on your little bees.
No, don't worry about it. But that was good, Al. That was good riffing.
You know what I thought, Andy? Okay, what's one of the most, like, okay, so.
Have you written down rubbing sunscreen on wildlife, by the way?
Yes, of course I have, Andy.
Well, I mean, nothing's certain anymore.
Nothing is certain, that's right. Only death.
And Lily Scrambles.
Lily Scrambles. Well, I haven't written down Lily Scramble yet, because I haven't given my version of that idea yet.
Because you're a fuck. Because you're a fuck.
Oh, how about this? Okay, wait, I keep trying to get to two ideas. Okay, wait. What about if instead of throwing, at the wedding when they throw the bouquet?
Mm.
What if everybody...
They throw the cake.
No, well... This is at a funeral.
Oh, okay.
And you just hold, a bunch of people hold the body, or you just kind of, as the person, you hold the body under the armpits, like, you know, kind of like you would, you know, dragging a drowning person out of the ocean. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And a bunch of people stand behind you, and you just grab the person's floppy arm, right? And you throw it over your head, and it'll flop back, and whoever's got their hand out and gets the high five, the low down low five. They are the next person to die.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I was thinking you were going to literally throw the corpse whoever. But I mean, I quite like throwing the corpse, Alistair.
Yeah, I mean, throwing the corpse, but then, I mean, I guess because, I mean, that could be that.
I mean, in a way, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I imagine if you've got a lot of elderly people lined up there, you hit them with a flying corpse.
Or
you
toddlers.
Know, it's amazing. It hasn't been wrong once.
You throw the corpse back. Oh, another one come to see you at the next funeral.
That's funnier than Lily Scramble, Alistair. You got me. You got me over the lawn. You know, corpse. Maybe it's not the corpse. Maybe it's not the high five over the shoulder. Maybe it's you pump the stomach contents, the last meal of the deceased. Yeah. You freeze it in a vacuum sealed bag and you throw that.
And what do you think we're going to find in there? The trouble is some people are vomiting a lot while they're dying.
Yeah, it's true. So there's not much.
So you're just going to have bile. It'll mostly be just water and then bile and, or just innards of stomach lining and things like that. It'll be a real pain to get that whole big ice block out of the body. You'll have to cut it wide open and, you know, get
you
the thing out.
You don't freeze it in the body. You don't drag it out as an ice block. You suck it out and then you freeze it.
You suck it out. Who does that? Who's going to do that, Andy? Why don't we just get somebody to suck it out, something out of their butts and just... there we go. We'll freeze that. We'll throw that at the family.
I hadn't said anything about butts. We were doing great, Alistair. This episode was real clean.
Just to go back to fixing climate change.
Yeah.
One of the problems with extracting carbon dioxide out of the air directly is I think it's very expensive. And hard to do, right? And so in order to be able to do it, you would have to find something really, I guess it's just not worth doing at the moment because it is too expensive. But
yep.
What if, what's something else that you need carbon for that is very expensive? Printer ink.
Oh.
Right? Black printer ink is probably got to be one of the most expensive substances in the universe.
Yeah, I think it's been looked into. It is one of the most expensive liquids.
Now, if you could just extract carbon directly out of the air and just make
printer ink.
Jet black printer ink.
Yeah.
You know, if you just had something, you know, if you had a printer that, let's say I told you, you could print anything for near to no cost, but it will just take a day to print something. You just got to print it the day before. You'd probably say, I don't want that printer. That sounds like even more hell than owning a regular printer. But Yeah, I know, but I didn't have anything to go to. Andy, we have five sketches.
But that's a good idea, Alistair, and I like the idea. But, you know, can I point out the flaw in your plan?
What is it?
The flaw is, what are we printing onto?
Paper.
Paper. Where does that come from? Trees.
Trees.
You know, but so still, in order to make
sequestered carbon.
Use
it's still
of
sequestered
all of this,
carbon.
I guess so. We've got to keep that paper forever then.
Yeah. Bury it.
Put it in a library. Everyone has to become a novelist of really long books and print them all out yourselves at home, one page a day, and they all go into the National Library. Nobody's allowed to touch them. That's how we're going to do it. That's the only way.
Which is now we're going to become eventually going to be called the National Carbon Sink.
Exactly. Fuck, nobody's reading those books, man.
Nobody's
might as well be.
Nobody's reading any books. Except for the books that we'll write one day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Andy.
Everybody's reading them.
Everybody is. Andrew, we have three words from a listener.
Yes.
Do you know we have listeners? Sometimes.
Now look, I'm aware.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a very aware guy.
One.
I'm an aware wolf. Sorry.
One who is a supporter on Patreon is Zachary. Now, Zachary has a last name, which is great, but when I tried to look up how to pronounce the last name on Google, it told me that it was pronounced Zachary, N-G-O-W.
Mm.
So I already knew that that's how it was spelt. So other things have said N-Gao. And then if it's anything like a Vietnamese last name that is just N-G-O, I think some places we're saying it's like Nho.
Okay.
Nho. Kind of like a Nho. I'm not sure exactly. But anyway, Zachary Nho or N-Gao. Hi, Zachary. Thank you very much for sending in. I apologize for this. And you know, please tell your family to update all these pronunciation websites that are up there, because that would help everybody in the world who encounter you. Apologies for all of this.
You're asking him to do all the labor. Feels like, you know,
he shouldn't
have to do that.
I was doing labor. This is after I've done labor. I'm just suggesting that one bit of labor would stop 1,000 bits of labor.
It's true.
Anyway, I'm sorry. This sounds like it's a battle now. Andy, do you want to try and guess?
I thought you were going to make me guess his last name. This guessing is really getting out of hand.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I wouldn't do that. I'm going to guess the three words, though.
Yeah, cool. Can I tell you already what the first word is?
Yeah.
Tangent.
No, it doesn't even rhyme.
Oh, no. I'm devastated.
You might have only got one letter correct.
Oh,
do you
want to
just
Christ.
Have a second guess based off of that?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Slant?
You got the same letter correct, though, but nothing else. The first word is royal.
Royal?
Yeah, royal.
Oh, my God. Okay, royal. Yeah, great. Okay,
now, based
next
off
word,
of that clue, would you
gelatin.
Want to try and guess?
Royal gelatin.
No, Andy. This isn't some kind of bee-based sketch.
No, I wish it was.
Royal jelly. No. The second word is soil.
Royal soil. Yes, I can see there is a rhyme. It's a good rhyme. It's a rhyme where you don't have the same letters.
Spelling. Yeah.
You know?
Right, Andy.
Royal soil. Moyle and M-O-Y-L-E. Royal soil moyle.
I mean, Andy, that's a great guess. And while that's a great guess, it is absolutely incorrect. He didn't bother with the third different type of spelling. He just went with boil.
Royal soil boil. Yeah. I mean, I've never boiled soil.
No.
I feel like that would be a really interesting thing to experiment with. Like, dig up a bunch of soil. Boil it. What does that create?
What would that
boil
do
it down. Boil it down. Boil it dry. Now what have you got? Just back to soil again. Almost not much point putting the water in the first place.
I think a huge part of soil is bacteria.
That's true. And you know, even the dry soils probably have a bit of moisture in there as well.
But you know what you
get
could
all
do?
Out.
By boiling a bunch of soil and then putting all the soil back somewhere. Right, you could, let's say you did a pile, right? You could then see if there's any bacteria or bugs in there that can, you're basically doing an evolutionary process and breeding for resistance to getting boiled.
To boiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
You know, and then you could probably find bacteria that could thrive, say, at one of those like hot jets down at the bottom of the ocean.
That's true.
You know, or maybe in a volcano. I mean, when I read royal soil boil, I basically just pictured a king being lowered into magma.
Oh, boiling soil.
Yeah.
I mean, it is good that you can get liquid rock.
Yeah.
But I've never seen liquid soil. I suppose, you know, people are thinking mud, but that's not what I mean. Liquid soil. I mean, you heat soil up till it becomes a liquid and it flows across the land. And then when it cools, it doesn't become rock, it becomes soil.
Topsoil.
I'll tell you what this isn't.
What?
The answer is interesting. It's not interesting. I fully recognize. A lot of people listening to the podcast probably think, I bet Andy doesn't know when he's being boring. I know when I'm being boring. Okay? I feel it, but sometimes you got to finish a thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regardless,
Andy,
of what that
does. You know, it might be bad for the soil to destroy all the nutrients and kill all the bugs in it, right? But you know what is good for the soil? To aerate it, which was boiling would do. You know, that's
in
what
some
they
way.
Often get. They often get bugs to do that, you know, by just making holes in there and
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that boiling soil aerates it. Alistair,
and,
I'm sorry.
Well, Andy, you're taking water, which is a liquid.
Yeah.
And then turning it into water vapor, which is a component of air.
But not the one that you're looking for when you're aerating something.
How do you know?
I think when you're because
when you're aerating something,
if the
you
thing
want
that
all
you, if the thing that you wanted to put in there was water, then you wouldn't be aerating the soil; you'd be watering the soil.
Yeah, you,
if
you,
you
want
to aerate the soil, I think the things that you're looking for are the components of air that aren't water. Basically, anything else.
Andy,
okay,
Andy, are you soil? Are you soil?
No, I'm not soil.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, then how the fuck do you know what soil wants? Hey, what component of air soil wants? You know? I'm not soil, but I reckon it doesn't want nitrogen. I reckon it doesn't want
even the Lorax didn't have the temerity to speak for the soil.
Spoke for the trees, Andy.
Spoke for the trees.
The trees.
And the brown barbalutes.
And the beneficiaries of all that hot steam and the dirt and the soil.
Mm. Isn't it great that the word beneficiary has the word fishery in it?
It's one of the best things about that word.
Can I tell you something about fish?
Yeah.
I would hate to meet the tuna that John West rejects. Because given the standard of tuna that he accepts, the tuna that he rejects must be so bad. It's incredible that John West had that campaign and they're unequivocally the worst tuna.
I don't know if they're worse than Safcol.
I think they're worse than Safcol.
I don't know, Andy. I think at least John West has some redeeming features, whereas I think Safcol has a really metallic taste.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that? It could be mercury, Andy.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like getting a little bit of mercury. You know Thirsty Merc? I'm thirsty for Merc. That's me. I'm sorry. There's been too many weird puns in this.
No.
Royal soil boil. It feels like something that the Queen probably does. Like when they start Parliament in the UK, they got all this weird shit where somebody bangs something with a stick and, you know, they say, oh, you can't come in, and then they let them in and all this kind of palaver. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they did something with soil in a pot.
For some reason, I just keep thinking that that's what you call a the Queen's fart.
A soil boil.
Soil boil.
The Queen's fart.
Yeah. You don't think so? You know?
Do you think she'd have a nice earthy fart?
I'm not judging the quality, Andy. I'm saying it's like, you know, the words take it away from it being a dirty thing, you know?
Apart from the fact that you've added the word soil in there.
Well, soil sounds very earthy. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like she's doing gardening or something, or she's helping the planet.
Mm.
You know, she's getting the boil on. That sounds like you're cleaning something or whatever.
getting the boil on.
You're letting bubbles
getting the boil
out.
On. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. What do we know about the Queen's farts? Almost nothing.
Well,
we know
very
that they must
rarely
exist.
Reported on.
Yeah. And she wears, you know, those long dresses. And every time she farts, it must be going up and venting through that neck hole. Mm. There's no other way out, as far as I can tell. It looks like, you know, it's a lot of the time it's those, you know, it's the full dress and then it's those big coats. They look like they've got quite a thick sort of layer, you know, of insulation and lining. It's cold in England a lot.
Mudslides?
She'll be rugged up.
Royal soil. Why are we being broken by this, Andy? Why are we being defeated by this royal soil boil? I think it rhymes too much. What's cool about it is that it is kind of a two-syllable rhyme. Oil. Oil.
Mm.
Oil, oil, oil. Royal
it's a,
soil
it's a single,
boil.
Is it a single-syllable word? Soil? Well, but soil. Royal is definitely two syllables. But soil...
Raw,
feels
royal. Yeah, I think they're
soil
all two
feels
syllables,
like one.
I think they're two syllables, but I think you can pass it off as one.
It feels like a real...
Royal.
That's a syllable hack.
Royal.
That's a way to...
Soil.
You know.
I don't think...
Boil. Soil. Boil.
Soil. Soil. I think if you say it faster, but it's like, Peter. Peter.
No.
Anyway, is Peter one syllable or two? Peter.
If Peter. You say it fast enough, anything's one syllable.
Cochrane.
Who's Peter Cochrane?
I don't know. Lady. 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 It was lady one or two? Lady. Lady.
This is so bad. I mean, I'm having a great time, but my God. A royal soil boil. The queen's boiling of the soil. I feel like she would. I feel like she would boil her soil. All the soil in the gardens of Buckingham Palace has been boiled at some point.
It sounds like something they would do to the poor at some point, where you would just go, you didn't pay your rent?
We're going to boil your soil.
It's just going to come. They start putting fires underneath. You know, they dig holes. Mm. And they put fires in your land until your soil boils. Mm. And then maybe and they then, stand you in it. They, you know, put your feet in it so that you lose your leg up into your ankle.
The joke's on them. You know, you had your potatoes in. You were just about to get them out anyway. Now they're all beautifully cooked.
It's jacket potatoes.
You're pulling cooked potatoes from the earth.
That's right. And they got that beautiful dirt flavor cooking right through them. People will be coming for miles. And they think that they've ruined you, but they've actually just started the one of the best local, fast food places.
People like beetroot, and that is already infused with the intense flavor of dirt. Mm. You ever wonder what dirt tastes like? I'll tell you, it tastes exactly like beetroot. Beetroot is the one plant that was like, I'm not going to come up with my own flavor. I'm just gonna import the flavor of whatever's around me. Beetroot doesn't have a flavor. It just has somehow all the dirt flavors have infused into the beetroot. And the only reason beetroot has succeeded as a vegetable is because it has such a cool color that you can't get anywhere else. And if you want that bright red-ish purple, you got to go to beetroot, even though it tastes like dirt.
It's true. If you want to roast some vegetables, but you want them to all be fucked up by being stained purple, you can only do
that
with beetroot.
They've got that game sewn up. That's right. So,
and royal soil boil.
Oh God!
We had finished this episode so early. We were on like 33 minutes when we started.
Yeah,
on this,
I know. On this. It was going to be so good.
Royal soil boil.
Yeah. I mean, you know, could you when they
we got to get away from like the direct translation.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You get away from the direct translation.
Well, I'm just trying. Look, okay. Watch this, Andy. It's a wooden boat. It's a wooden boat, but you don't take it on land.
Yeah.
You know, you take it through someone's veins. I got nothing.
No, but what about this, right? It's a boat that, you know, we invented steam power. Say we invented transport with steam power, but what we did was, instead of using steam to generate, you know, pressure to turn a piston or something like that, we just made a boat that just blasts steam out of holes in the hull.
Sort of like a jet ski,
sort of like a hovercraft, sort of like an inverted air hockey table, but with pressurized super hot steam. Okay, now you can travel. You know, this is the only form of transport we've got. You can travel anywhere you want. Okay, but what it will do is it will steam to the point of boiling anything that you pass over. Right, so it'll kill anywhere that you travel. Now it becomes only something that the Queen is going to use, or like that royals are going to use. That they travel on this sort of death, you know, it's powered by death, right? Steaming across the land, killing everything in its path. And I'll tell you what this is. It's a metaphor for vehicles, for cars, for fossil fuels. It's just that we've shortened the gap between the thing, and this is what art is, Alistair. You just make it much more explicit, the bad thing that something does.
Well, what about this? What about if it's a car, but it's got little arms with hammers on them, and they kill any animal that's nearby?
Yeah, great. Really good. And does it power the car in some way?
No.
Or do they,
no, it actually
it just does it. It
it's just a fair bit more power to do that.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Yeah, no.
I wonder. But is it that the person who invented the car, who, you know, was it Carl Benz? Whoever that guy was.
No, that's not him. He's not involved.
Right. Well, whoever it was, some other guy who invented the car, he put a clause in the patent, and you're allowed to do this, is that you were only going to be allowed to, he was going to give it away for free, but you're only allowed to use it if you include the bit of the car that kills animals with hammers. And
you, and then Henry Ford was like, you can have it in any color as long as the all the arms kill all the animals any way you want, all the whole way, all the time. God, that was some good talking. Anyway, Zachary, I hope that you're happy with the best sketch that's ever been come up with, because I hope that satisfies you, because I'm going to take us through the sketch ideas for today.
Yes.
We've got Doctor, There's a Voice in My Head, and it's a very elaborate Doctor sketch that has both prodding, has the hypocritic oath. It has the next bit that Andy mentioned that was very funny as well, and I can't remember.
Thanks. I can't remember it either, but it sounds good.
Now, then we've got doctors realize they make a discovery, and they can't tell people that you can... They realize they make a discovery that you can hear the thoughts of people when you open their skulls, but they realize they can't tell the general public, or else they're going to try it out and open each other's skulls to hear people's thoughts.
I don't even remember us talking about that, but that's very good. You know, that there's no such thing as an MRI machine, right? There's no such thing as a CAT scan. They can just hear your thoughts, but they pretend that they just print out pretty colors of the brain, pictures of the brain, and say that's what it is.
But actually,
they know exactly the brain is what always thinking.
The brain's always actually repeating what's wrong with it. It's going, oh, my left ventricle is actually severely inflamed.
That's right.
You know, the brain's got ventricles. Then we got Dustin checks me in. That's when the person buys an orangutan.
Where things get good.
They get the document wrong, and somehow the ape becomes...
They get committed.
The ape becomes the legal guardian of the person, and the ape decides that the person is genuinely insane. Then we've got distilling the truth of a beating into a spray. And then...
I think this is a
brackets,
really good idea.
Making it a lie. But, you know, I think that there's something in that, Andy. We're going to have to do a lot of listening to get that one back to figure out what the fuck we were talking about.
I know exactly what that was. And it's I think if you can get the separate the truth of something from that thing, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can, yes, it does make it a lie, but a very convincing one.
Oh, yes. The convincing lie of a beating in my face. Anyway, the important thing is that you just trick the mind, I guess. Then we've got re-release CFCs into the atmosphere to stop climate change, and then just sunscreen wild animals and us. Mostly you just have to sunscreen the animals that have bare skin, which is mostly us. But maybe seals. Well, they don't bear skin, do they?
I think you still got to do the noses. Like, you know, see some dogs, people put sunscreen on their dog's nose. That's like that. So, you know, you go to a lion. You don't have to do the whole lion, but you do have to do its nose.
I don't know.
The good news is you don't have to do the whole lion. The bad news is you got to do the bottom of its feet where its claws are and the tip of its little nose where its teeth are close to.
Then we've got throw the corpse back at the funeral, and the next the person to catch it is the next one to die.
It's really good.
And then we've got
maybe not
course,
throw the corpse. Oh, I guess you could get all the pallbearers to sort of swing the corpse.
Yeah,
you know, grab an arm and a leg each,
sort of like
swing
them
it
like
into
a,
the crowd,
swing them like a hammock.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Steam Death Hovercraft, which...
This would be, but that pallbearer, throw the corpse thing, would be in a universe in which dying people are just as excited for people to die as they are for people to get married. And everybody's, you know, talking about, so, when you're going to die, and who's going to be the next person to die, and that sort of thing. And it's just a... We could make this as a film, Alistair, and it would be art, because we're just changing a thing.
No, I'd like to make art.
So easy to make art.
Oh, it'd be so easy. Andy, today, you know what I was doing? I was fantasizing about us doing Sci-Fi Try Guys as a weekly thing, as a real podcast.
It's a good thing to fantasize about, because we're not even pulling it off as a monthly thing at the moment, but that is a good idea, Al.
I think this is the direction our lives should go. Just as a regular weekly podcast, even though we currently have at least two podcasts on the go, but, one's not being, you know, Pop Test isn't currently being made for more seasons yet. But anyway, and then that's all our podcast, that's all our sketches. Boo daddy titty, boo ba titty,
boo daddy, boo daddy, boo ba titty, boo daddy, boo daddy, boo. Boo daddy boo. Boo daddy boo. Boo daddy. Ah, thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. God, we appreciate it. You can find us on all the places you like to find people. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Alistair TB, and we're at Two in Tank. You can find us on Instagram at Two in Tank, or I'm at A Trombley Birchall. You can support us on Patreon. You can find the Pop Test.
You can watch both me and Alistair on Gamey Gamey Game.
Yeah.
Evan Munro Smith's gaming... Oh, I just hit my bell. I hit my lamp and it made a good bell sound. About gaming, and we both went on recently. Both had fun.
We were on the Weekly Planet a little while ago. We were also on Book Cheat.
Yes.
We also, you know, just you could also listen to Do Go On. They're a good podcast.
Oh, never not
we're
good.
We're not on there though, but
maybe one day.
Well, we have done episodes in the past,
which is the best time to do things. They just do
great things. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Sorry if sometimes our stuff is of varying quality. anyway,
we
love
you. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.